Parashat Shlach is one of the famous parashios which describes Kadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Shlach Lecha Anoshim, send if you wish. No direct command really from God, as Rashi tells us. But Moshe Rabbeinu, if you would wish to send, as per the request of the people, you may send spies to spy out the land. And 12 men, prominent men, are chosen to go and to spy out the land, and we know they come back with a terrible report, and their punishment is that they die, and indeed all the Jewish people who believe this report are subject to dying in the desert, and the Jewish people then spend the next 38 years, totaling 40 years, wandering in the desert. And this really is the continuation from last week's Parsha Baaloscha of the slow downward fall of the Jewish people. It will continue, Mirat Hashem, next week in Parsha Korach with the rebellion of Korach, where everything begins to unravel. And there's a lot written among the Mefarshim, among the commentators, on what exactly was the sin of the Meragli. Where did the spies go wrong? How do we understand this story? And we've looked at in the past many different facets of understanding the story. And I'd like to add today a different approach, I think a very beautiful approach, based primarily on a new sefer we haven't used yet, the Darchei Noam, the son of the current Slomino Rebbe, the son of the Siva Shalom. The medium that I'd like to use to be able to explain and develop this idea or the ideas of the Darchei Noam is perhaps to look at what went wrong with the spies from the response of Yoshua and Kalev. Yoshua and Kalev were the two spies that were tzaddikim, that were righteous, and clearly when they respond to the other spies, the way they retort back, that gives us an indication of what the spies are really saying, that Yoshua and Kalev felt that in this area they need to respond. So I'd like to look at the responses of Yoshua and Kalev and let that be our point of their departure. In source 1, the spies come back, and indeed they say they went to a land which flows with milk and honey, and they show the fruit, this is the fruit. But the people that dwells in the land is powerful. The cities are very greatly fortified. And we also saw there the offsprings of the giants. And they describe where the different mighty nations dwell. And then we have in verse 30, where Kalev silenced the people toward Moshe and said, we shall surely ascend and conquer it, for we can surely do it. And Rashi in source 3 brings down that our rabbis explain when Kalev says, we shall surely ascend, alo na'ale, Chazal say, afilu bashamayim, even if it means going into heaven, even if we have to take ladders to go into heaven, we will be successful. We need to understand what is Kalev saying, but no matter what, we're able to do it. You're afraid of these giants? No. Even if we were to go into heaven, we would take ladders up to heaven, we would be successful. That response needs to be understood. And then the way the spies respond to Kalev, 31. But the men who had ascended with him said, we cannot ascend to the people, for it is too strong for us. Ki chazaku mimenu. And here our rabbis point out, ki chazaku mimenu is really a reference to God, that the nations are too strong for God. They brought forth to the children of Israel an evil report on the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have passed to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants. Eretz Ochlel Yoshevahi, which as the rabbis point out in source number 2, God had done them a favor by having everyone bury their dead at that time, so they wouldn't pay attention to the Meraglim, to the spies. But they looked at it as the land where everyone dies in this land. Continuing back in the Chumash, all the people that we saw in it were huge. So we find here that they report about the strength of the land. Kalev responds, don't worry, we can even build up ladders into the heaven. And their response is, no, it's even too strong, kivyachol, for Hashem himself. source 4. We also have both the response of Yeshua and Kalev in chapter 14, the next chapter, source 4. Yeshua, son of Nun, and Kalev, son of Yefunah, the spies of the land, tore their garment. They spoke to the entire assembly of the children of Israel, saying, the land that we passed through to spy it out, the land is very, very good. If Hashem desires it, he will bring us to this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. But do not rebel against Hashem, and do not fear the people. So here we find that there are almost two responses of Kalev and Yeshua. One is more of a spiritual response. We can go up into the heavens and we can be able to be successful. And one is the response saying how beautiful the land is and how indeed we can come inherit it. To be able to appreciate these responses, let's raise a number of questions on the Parsha and then begin the approach of the Darchei Noam. The Darchei Noam asks a very basic question in source number 5, and it's a very important question. If we hold, as we explained, that the spies, in response to Kalev, said, no, ki chazaku mimenu, this land is too strong, kaplei mala, even for Hashem, well, that seems to be a very serious aspect of lack of belief, that here the miraculous seem to say that the people of the land are stronger than God. And we would have thought that for saying something like this, which is such a blatant lack of amunah, lack of faith, they would have gotten severely punished. But we find, as the Ramban notes, that their punishment is only for dibat haaretz, for speaking evil against the land. They are not punished for lack of amunah, a lack of faith. So how do we understand that here it seems that they're speaking against God's ability, and yet they're not punished for this? And also, how could they speak about Hashem's ability? These were people who, as we mentioned, were very, very prominent people who are living in the desert experiencing God's miracles at every moment. What does it mean when they're saying it's too strong even for Hashem? And further, in source 10, our rabbis teach us that when they left with an Eitzah Ra. They had bad intentions when they left. Well, how can we call them prominent people and at the same time that their intentions were negative intentions? If their intentions were negative, would we not think these people aren't as prominent as we would have at first glance assumed? So Darchei Noam offers, I think, a fascinating insight that gets to the heart of the story and equally to the heart of our Avodas Hashem, our service of Hashem as well. He quotes a medrash. I like to do the English in source 7. Rav Achav the Great opened his discourse on the Sedra with a verse. Grass dies and the flower withers, but the word of our God shall stand forever. To what can this be compared? A king had a friend to whom he promised a gift on condition that he would have his company on a journey. The friend accompanied him, but died. The king then said to his friend's son, although your father has died, I will not retract the gift that I promised him. Come and take it. The king was the king of kings. The friend was Avraham. As it is written, the progeny of Avraham who loved me. Tum Hashem said, come with me to the land, and I will give it to you as a gift. As it is written, arise, traverse the land in its length and breadth, for to you I will give it. It is also written, for all the land that you see I will give to you and your progeny forever. God said to Moshe, although I stipulated with the patriarchs I would give them the land, and they have died, in the meantime I will not retract my word, but the word of God shall stand forever. And the obvious question, which Rabbi Miller brings down in Shabbat Shirim, that it's asked by the author of the Taras Kohen is, the mashal and nimshal, the parable and the explanation, don't line up. In the parable, the gift is promised to the friend. The friend dies and God says, okay, the king says, okay, I'll give it to you, the son. But in the nimshal, we have clearly, in the verse that the Medrash states is, the king said to the friend, i.e. Avraham Avinu, I will give you the gift, i.e. the land, not only to you, but to your progeny forever. So even if the friend dies, the progeny deserves the land. So why is it that we would have thought, you know what, now that the friend has died, you don't deserve the land? No. The promise wasn't only made to the friend. The promise was made to the friend and his children. So even though the friend has died, even though the others have died, the promise was made to the children. So why is it that God has to say, I'm going to give it to you, even though the friend has died? So Darchei Noam offers a fascinating insight into what does it mean the friend has died. And he explains, based on the Avnei Nezer, that when Hashem in source number 8 tells Avraham Avinu, go to the land that I will show you, Avraham Avinu doesn't say, please God, give me MapQuest. Let me see exactly where I'm going, how long it's going to take me, you know, where are the nice scenic routes along the way. No. He goes. And he goes, Ela halach acharei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tmimut, with complete conviction and faith without asking questions. And also, you find this in a beautiful medrash, very deep medrash, when Avraham Avinu, on the three-day journey to sacrifice his son, and the Satan comes in many different guises to try to stop Avraham. And one of them is a nahar, a river, and one of them is an old man saying, what are you doing? Avraham Avinu's response to the Satan, or whatever the barriers are along the way, is one response. Ani b'tumi eilech. I am going with, it's so hard to translate tumimus, with this purity of spirit, with this conviction, nothing is going to stand in my way. So my friends, when it means that Hashem is giving this gift to his friend, it's not so much talking about an individual, whether it's Abraham, whether it's children, whether the king and the king's son, the friend or the friend's son. No. Who is the friend here? The friend is the midah, it's the quality trait of tamimus, the quality trait of following Hashem. As long as the Jewish people exhibit this quality trait of tamimus, of lechtech acharei b'midbar be'eretz lo zrua, of following Hashem in the desert without asking questions, then they are deserving of having this gift. But as soon as this quality is disturbed, which we find in last week's parasha Baalotzcha, when they start complaining, and this week's parasha of Shlach has detailed the background in beginning of parasha Tvarim, Vatikrevun alai kuchem, that the people came over to Hashem v'tomru to Moshe, v'tomru nishlecha nashim lefaneinu, v'yachperu lanu at haaretz, when the people demand to send out spies. And here, they're not trusting God implicitly, saying, God, if you tell us the land is good, we're ready to go. Vayit and so Aaron, that's what should have happened. Before Vayiyam Kimitonim Rabbeth Hashem, before they murmur and complain, had the Jewish people gone with Tmimus, with this beautiful spirit of following God, with this faith, so then they would have walked into the land 100%. But now that they lost this faith, so it would seem that they would lose this gift of the land of Israel. And that's why God has to say to Moshe, although they no longer have this faith, I will still give this gift to the descendants at a time when they are deserving of it, and that's only when they return back to this level of Tmimus, and that will be a 40-year process in the desert. This midah of tmimus, this midah, this ability to follow Hashem, is really the medium of merit for the Jewish people to merit the land. And as he continues in source number 10, the Darchei Noam explains that Avraham Avinu is told, Hitalech lefanai ve'yet tamim, walk in front of me and be tamim, have this purity. And I will give you this covenant. And Rashi explains this covenant is the covenant of the land. We see that the covenant of the land, the ability to have the land of Israel, is dependent on our ability to have the midah of tmimus. So here, when the Jewish people lack this midah of tmimus, when they lack this purity of spirit, then the Jewish people no longer can just walk into the land. They need to regain this in the time of Yahushua and then be able to come back into the land. Before moving forward and to try to understand this explanation a little bit deeper, we need to understand, what is this Mida of Tamimus? What is this purity of spirit that was demanded of the Jewish people? So Darchei Noam, Darchei Musa, Rav Naiman, in source number 13, explains very beautifully. He says there are different levels of faith. So he says, for example, if somebody looks at the world and says, where did this world come from? Well, obviously there must be a creator. That's what we call a basic level of emuna. It's a basic level of faith. He says, but there's a higher level, the underline, sorry, in 11. Achyesh madrega yoter gdola b'emuna. There's a higher level. Lamin shafilu masha adam otse b'atzmo. The higher level of faith, the first level is to see that God created the world. The higher level is to realize that even that which we accomplish ourselves, we should never say, look what I have accomplished. But to believe that everything was done by Hashem, ki ein od milvado. That's a higher level. And that's why the first of the Ten Commandments is, I am God, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, who took you out of Egypt. And not, I am the Lord your God, who created heaven and earth. Because to believe that God created heaven and earth, all right, for some people it's a challenge. But if you look at the complexities of this world, you can understand there's a creator. But to see that God took us out of Egypt, and it wasn't through Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't through political pressure and leadership and a charismatic leader, that's the Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the belief that God is involved in our lives, and He is the one who is accomplishing that which we accomplish in life. That's even a higher level of emunah. To believe that when we do something in life, we should never say, wow, look how great I am, but rather be able to have the correct perspective that without Hashem, we would have accomplished nothing. And that everything we have, and the inspiration, and the ingenuity, and the creativity, and the ability, etc., 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 all comes from God. Ein od milvado. We are just, the Kadosh Baruch Hu just gives us this means to be able to accomplish, but never for a moment think it's us. It's always the Kadosh Baruch Hu who's running the show. You know, I could just add on a personal level. You know, when I finish preparing each week one of these shiurim, so I usually when I at the last, you know, cut and paste, so to speak, say the pasuk Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Kilum Chasdo, because I recognize that every Shir is a miracle, right? You know, and I look back at these shirim and I say to myself, wow, someone brilliant must have put this together. I don't know who it is. And I say to myself, it's obviously not me. I'm not capable of doing something like this. It's clearly siyata d'shmaya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants certain people to hear certain things, that Hashem leads me to certain sarim to put it together in a certain way, that I'm sitting here just almost as a puppet giving over the siyata d'shmaya that I've been given. But in no way is it me that is the catalyst for all of the shir being put together. That has to be our mindset, that we are just being a conduit for Kadosh Baruch Hu's desires to be fulfilled in this world. And hopefully we are being as loyal as we are supposed to be to this mission. But you know, my friends, there's even a higher level than that. The first level is to believe that God created the heaven and earth. Great. Second level is that God's running the show in our personal lives. Great. But you want to know what's a higher level than that? It's what the Medrash talks about in source number 13, where the Medrash says, "Kol Shirim Kodesh, V'Shir Shirim Kodesh Kedoshim." All the songs are holy, but Shir Shirim, the song of songs, is the holiest. So he explains here the Darchei Musa so beautifully. The Jewish people at the song of the Red Sea, you know, it's like a no-brainer. The sea splits. You see the Egyptians dying. Obviously, you sing Shira. Dvorah, David HaMelech. You know, great miracles happen. You sing Shira. Why is Shira Shirim Kodesh Kedoshim? So he explains the following. This is 13. Ach b'Shira Shirim mita'er Shlomo HaMelech et kol ha'galut ha'kasha v'chol ha'sevel shalam Yisrael. Shira Shirim describes the tremendous challenges that we have. Mitzauni asharim hikuni psauni, that we're in difficult straits. When we're able to recognize that even in the difficult straits, even walking, he says, to the gas chambers, we can sing the Ani Mamin, or to say Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, that that's the highest level. It's Emuna Pshuta Lelo Chakirot, to believe in Hashem without, even if it's illogical to us. It's this level of the Avraham Avinu, who doesn't question Hashem, who tells him, sacrifice your son, and he doesn't ask any questions. The highest level of Emuna, the Shira Shirim, is when we're in Golos, when things don't make sense to us, when things aren't clear, that we're able to walk Vani Betumi Eilech, I'm nevertheless able to walk faithfully with God. And this is what the people were missing. And this is what the Meraglim were missing. The Meraglim are seeing at this point all these people burying their dead. They're saying, wow, this is an Eretz Ochlel Yoshevayi. This is a land that, you know, consumes its inhabitants in 14. Instead of saying it makes no sense to us why all these people are dying, but Vanibe to me Elach, if this is what God decides that this land will be, I'm ready to go in 100%. I don't ask questions. That's the highest level of Emunah. The Emunah of being able to follow Hashem on His terms, not on our terms, even if it's beyond our understanding. That level of Lechtech Acharei Bamidbar Be'eretz Lo Zeruah, to follow Hashem in a land that's not planted, without asking questions, that's a chesed nirayach, that's a tmimos, that's the original kindness that the Jewish people are missing. And in fact, Rav Arush in the Garden of Emunah, which is this classic sefer that has come out and has become very, very popular. It's a Breslov orientation, but very much a sefer about Emunah Pshuta, about the simple faith and belief that we need to have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, essentially, in 15, Hashem has only one simple request from each of us, that we get to know Him. According to the Holy Zohar, this is based on Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his disciples, Hashem created us for the sole purpose of getting to know Him. As such, the daily events and experiences of our lives are none other than personal messages from Hashem, designed to stimulate our Emunah, encourage us to speak to Him, and thereby facilitate our efforts to get close to Him. Why? Because the closer one gets to Hashem, the better one gets to know Him. And he describes here in 17, an athlete is prepared to implement grueling demands from a seemingly merciless coach. Not only that, but a top athlete usually loves and respects their coach. Why? The athlete knows the coach and trusts that the coach wants to build him or her into a winner and champion. We should have the same knowledge and trust of Hashem. Imagine we're driving a car and we want to make a right turn and there's an obstacle. We want to make a left turn and there's another obstacle. But Hashem has set up an obstacle to block that way also. Without Emunah, we'd be subject to anger, frustration, and disappointment. But with Emunah and faith, we believe that life's stumbling blocks, barriers, and hindrances are agents of Hashem's divine providence. We don't sink to frustration and anger and depression when armed with the knowledge that life's setbacks are milestones, guiding lights, and personal gifts from Hashem. That's the level of Tamimos. And he says that tefillah, constantly talking to Hashem, constantly turning to Hashem for each and every one of our needs, as well as being aware of the things that happen to us, our calls from Hashem to come closer to Him, it raises us a certain level of consciousness that we recognize that we need to live this life of Vani Betumi Elech, the Semuna Pshuta, that I recognize that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for the best, and I need to be able to have the simple faith to be able to follow along with what Hashem has desired. With this, we can now appreciate what Kalev says, that even if we have to build ladders, we can go into the heavens. What is Kalev basically saying to the people? This is based on the Sasemes Lekach Valibu, which is quoting in source number 19 in the next page. He says there are two ways that Hashem interacts with the world. There's a level, what we call Teva, where there's man, the time, where everything functions in an orderly way. And then there's something called Lamalamina Teva, above the time. And he says that really, the Jewish people, according to the level of time, should have gone in after 40 years. But they had ability to be able to go in earlier had they been able to stimulate this desire of really wanting to go in at this particular time. Aval be'eit, the end of 19, shemagbiim atzma lemala min hashemayim, as ein yishtabut klal uzmanim leitim. Had they been able to bring themselves to a level above time, had they been able to bring themselves to a higher level of relationship with Hashem, then they would have been able to be zochah to walk into the land now. What Kolev is saying to the people is the following. You're right, Merakli. We really need the midah of tmimus, the midah, the quality of being able to have total faith in Hashem, and we don't have it. And therefore, technically, it has nothing to do with the Merakli or not. Technically, we need to go in after 40 years into Israel, because in the time of Yeshua, we'll once again have this tmimus, have this basic faith. But says Kolev to the people, you know, don't take this, then, you know, sitting back and saying, okay, we don't have the faith, there's nothing to do. No! Alona Allah! We may not have the faith. We may be under Zman, which means we have to wait the 40 years. But what's stopping us from creating that faith? What's stopping us from getting bound to that level of Tamimos? What's stopping us from going to a level of Alona Allah? If we raise ourselves up to a level of Lamala Min Hazman, if we raise ourselves up to a higher level, then we're not under the teva, the natural order, where the natural order says you need to have tmimos, you need to have this faith, and that's when we get in. If we can raise ourselves to a higher level, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be able to bring us in right now. We can create a certain reality, but it depends on us. It depends on our desire to come close to Hashem. If we have this desire now, then we don't need to wait the 38 years. We don't have to worry. We are going to be worthy of going in now. And that's the idea of building ladders to heaven. We have the ability. Don't say it's a fait accompli. What do you want? We're not worthy of going into the land. No. You can go to a different level of being able to stimulate our relationship with Hashem, where Hashem will respond in kind and bring us to the land. And that's why they say in 22, Im chafetz banu Hashem, if Hashem desires us, ve'vio tanu ala aretz hazot, he'll bring us to the land. But we need to have chafetz. Chafetz is a very strong level of desire, like we find by Shechem, desiring Dina. If we have chafetz in Hashem, if we have desire in Hashem, and we have a desire to really be able, with tremendous amount of love, come to do our avodas Hashem, then we can be on a level of bringing back this level of tmimus and being able to be zoche to enter into the land now. As he says so beautifully in 23, v'zeh davar hu midah keneged midah. This is measure for measure. Lefi avodat ha'adam, according to our work. Im ha'adam oved et Hashem itbarach be'ava kazo. If we serve Hashem, b'vchinat chefet, out of desire. As it says, ki im b'tarat Hashem chaso, our immersion in Torah is out of chefet as desire, as hu mitarer l'malo b'chinat zu shechefet. Then God will respond with desire. And this is the idea of Shirashiri. Im ta'iru im taru etava, if you awaken the desire, achetechpats, until it becomes a chayfet, a very strong passion and level of desire, then the next verse, kol dodi neizeba medalei garim mekabetz al gvod, then our beloved comes and brings redemption. My friends, this is not only true about the Meraglim and Kolev, it's true for life. Where we are in terms of our life situation, and sometimes we say we're stuck, and this is our mazel, and this is where we are in life, and there's nothing to do about it. That's the Meraglim's approach. We can't go in. We're not on this level. And Kalev's response is, you're right, we may not be on this level. But there's something called lamala min hazman. There's some level where you can raise yourself above and have a desire, a tshuka, a chayfetz for Hashem. And when you have this desire for Hashem and you go above and beyond where you are at now, you show God that you are ready to push yourself even further. And your mesiras nefesh and the way you do mitzvot are above and beyond. And you show this love above and beyond. Then Hashem is going to respond likewise above and beyond. This is the idea that the Nesiva Sholem speaks about in Parashat Vayetzeh, by the dream of Yaakov Avinu. And it's the model of a mushroom. And I think, my friends, if we were able to at least take out one core idea today, I'd like us to have in mind the mushroom. Right? Someone asks you, what you learn about today, you say, I learned about that we should be on the level of a mushroom. But what's a mushroom about? So if you know about Hilchos Brachos, what bracha, what blessing do we say over a mushroom? So you would think that we would say hadama, because mushrooms grow on the ground, but we don't say hadama. We say shahako. So why? So here let's talk about the mushroom. 24. Kikmehot hatzmeim lamayim hayardim min hashamayim. Because these mushrooms draw their sustenance from the rain that comes from heaven. That even though shakmeot nitzmadim begedulam la'etz o'evan, even though they grow near a tree or stone, v'nir'ek iluhem dvukim v'yonkim min ha'aretz, and it appears that they're getting their sustenance from the land, achemet hi, the truth is, shakol yinikatam hirak min ha'matar hayoreh min ha'shemayim, it's really coming from the rain in heaven. Ve'inam nosim einehem lo la'aretz v'lo l'shum davar acher, and they don't turn to anything else for their sustenance, but only from the heavens. Sama lecha nafshi, kama lecha b'tzari. Kama melashon k'mehot, like these mushrooms who have this sima'on, this passionate desire for God. Explains in the Shiva Shalom so beautifully. He says, this medrash of sama lecha nafshi, kama lecha b'tzari, comparing it to mushrooms, is really the image of each and every one of us. That no matter where we are in life, 26. Afilu kishuasek binyanim hagashmiim shehem bechinat sula mutzavarta. We can be like the ladder who's well entrenched on the ground, and we would think that we are involved in the physical parts of life. Hareu domelech mehot alalu mitzapim l'mayim min hashamayim shenidme ki hu davuk la'aretz for la'artziu. It appears that our whole sustenance is coming from this land, but really, Rosho Magia Shemaima, like this ladder whose top reaches heavenward, that our real desire is for spirituality, is for godliness. And here he says in the asterisks, and this is key, Vehu Lefi Shibasher Machshavoto Shaladam Shamhu. Where your mind is, that's really where you are. Vehal Shechein, how much more so? Shekasher Chukato Shaladam Shibasher Chukato Shaladam Shamhu. That wherever your desire is, that's where you are. People can be living in the physical world, and they can be involved in the physical world, and for all intents and purposes, they look like they're functioning al piderech hateva. But if such a person is a mushroom, where they understand that their whole essence is coming from heaven, and all they do is turn heavenward for all of their needs, then even though they're sula mutzav arza, they're like a ladder planted firmly on the ground, they're really rosho magia shamayma, their head is heavenward, and they are really sustained by a whole different dynamics. By special protection, v'nei Hashem nitzav alav, a special protection of God watching over them. And that's the goal of all of us. The goal that Kalev is saying, don't be despondent in life. Don't give up. We may not be on the level we'd like to be. But you know what, my friends? If we have a strong tshuka, a strong desire, we may not be there yet. But this is where our desire is. And our eyes are turned heavenward. And this is where we want to be, like those mushrooms, who recognizes their whole sustenance comes from heaven. Then we're bracha of shahako. we change our entire dynamics. And to a real extent, my friends, this is what is unique about women. It's interesting, the women did not sin in the chay of the miraculous. The women have this midah of this tmimos that they entered into Eretz Yisrael. And it's interesting that one of the mitzvahs found after the whole story of the Meraglim is the mitzvah of challah. And then the Siva Shalom on the Pasuk of Reshit Aritzotechem challah tarimu truma, that the first of your dough, you bring it as a challah, as a offering to Hashem. So it says challah, we know the three mitzvahs that are unique for women, challah, lakas, aner, and Taras Mishpacha. So he says, Chala is Milashon Tfilah. Kimo Vayachal Moshe. That when we're talking about the mitzvah of Chala, the mitzvah of Chala, on a very deep level, Chala, it comes from the word Vayachal, the same shoresh of davening, of praying, of imploring. That a woman has the ability that whenever she is taking her food, she's recognizing that her food needs to be elevated l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven. And that's the play of Reshit Arisotechem Titnu l'shem Truma l'dorotechem. This has an effect l'dorotechem. It has an effect for all generations. This is the power of the woman. This is the idea that the Sfaremen, as Likutim explains in Source 30, why is it that Dafka, the Sheva Brachot that are said after the week of a Chassan and Kala's marriage have to be by a meal? You have to sit down and have a Sukkah and have Sheva Brachot. So the Sfasema says to teach us, Shemezonosav Shala Adam Ba'im Lo Vishut Ishto, that a people should know, that the husband should know, that all of his sustenance is going to come from the merit of his wife. That the Sheva Brachot, that the brachos, the sheva on the play of saveya, the goodness and the plenty of the brachos that are going to come into this marriage are going to be connected to the meal, connected to the women, connected to challah. And as Rav Pinkus points out in Source 29, as we're well aware, of tisha kabim shel sicha, asara kabim shel sicha yardu la'olam, 10 measures of speech came to this world and women took 9 of them. Ein sicha elotfila. Women daven all day. It's not that women are talking, that may be true, but women are turning to Hashem all day. And this is Berega Shaisha, second paragraph 29. Lokacha mibalata teisha asirot sicha. When a woman takes these 9/10 of speech, she becomes an eshet chayla teret bala. What happens when an isha pshuta, when a simple person, when she spends her whole time turning to Hashem and speaking to Him, she has the ability to mashpia kedusha on her whole family. A teret baila, she becomes the crown of the home. A woman by her nature, who's connected to Hashem. A woman who davens all the time. And that's why we know in the original creation story that the Nachash is punished of having all this food in front of him. He never has to daven. Adam is punished where he turns to Hashem, b'zeis apechato chalechem, he turns to Hashem for his livelihood, but he gets vacation days where he doesn't necessarily need to turn to God. He gets Shabbos, he gets Yantif, this year Shemitah, gets a whole year sabbatical. A woman has 24/7 pregnancy, childbirth, raising children. She never gets vacation time because Hashem says, you, shasani kirtzono, the height of creation, need to talk to me at all times. Vayachal, chala. That's what a woman is about. A woman is about tarimu truma l'Hashem, that she's able to elevate to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, being able to take this world and bringing it to a higher level of recognition that everything comes from Hashem. She is the epitome of emuna. It's interesting, I'll just mention this briefly, that at the end of the parashah we have another mitzvah that helps a man achieve this level. And that's the mitzvah of tzitzit. Where tzitzit has two components. It has the arba kanfot, it has the four corners, which represents the world, and the ability that a man has to remember by looking at the tzitzit to be able to take this world and elevate it to God. But the tzitzit also has the component of the tchelet, of the blue thread, with the blue thread reminds you of the sea and the sea of the heavens and the heavens of the Kisei HaKavod. And it's noted, a very deep idea, and also a new sefer, Acharei Ro'i, of Avram Yosef Rosen from Square Town. He points out that the idea of the Tchelet is teaching man the idea of looking at the world not only from bottom up, from up down. That Avraham Avinu was taken out and told, look down, Habeit na Shemaima Re'eh. There's an idea of the Tchelet, where if you can have the correct perspective in life, and a man needs a tzitzit, which women doesn't, which women don't need, a man needs to recognize it's not only about elevating this world for God, but that being able to have the correct perspective in this world, that God is running the world, that the Kisei HaKavod, the Tchelet, is almost raising man up to say, now I want you to look down from the perspective of heaven and get a grip on this world. And when you do, you will have, like Avraham Avinu, Vayamein Bashem Vayachshaveh Lo Saka, you'll have this emunah. And he says this is one of the reasons in 35 that we pick up a chassan, we also pick up a kala, and probably for similar reasons, even though, as we're saying here, the chassan needs it more than the kala. But we pick them up to say at a wedding, right? Why do we pick up the chassan and kala? So it's my shtick. No, it may be true, but it's deeper than that. We're saying to the chassan, when you want to have a good marriage, you have to not only look at it from ground level across. You have to be able to look at it from the perspective of looking down and being able to get a reality check in life. And when you're able to look at things from that perspective, you see that the things from ground level may be annoyances and grievances and pettiness. When you're looking at it from a higher perspective, you say, like, get real. It's not important. And that's the gift we give, really, both the chassan and kala, in terms of shalom bayis. He says this is the idea of La'el Asher Shavat. This is the idea of Shabbos. La'el Asher Shavat, the asterisk in 39, La'el stands for Lo Echpatli. I'm not troubled. I'm not bothered. This is Goreim for Shabbat. This gives you this inner peace, and it gives you Shalom Bayis. Where you say, is this something to make such a big deal about? It happens. Life goes on. People are human. People forget. If you have that perspective of being raised up, it gives you a different perspective on life. And that is almost what the goal of this Tchemimus is about. The goal of our Cheshek in Ratzon is about, is to be able to have such a connection with Hashem, and such a passion with Hashem, to be able to see the world from such a light, that there's a higher being, there's a higher system in this world that we may not understand. But if I feel connected to Hashem, and I feel my whole life is dedicated to Him, that I have that tmimus, that I understand if it's blocked on the right, and blocked on the left, and blocked in the center, and I feel like I'm entrapped, I recognize that Hashem is telling me something very clear. And instead of being despondent and disappointed and upset, I see how I can grow from the situation and move beyond it. It's a very long story, which I have a lot more to say, so I'm a little bit in a bind here. It's very interesting that in one of my classes this morning, somebody mentioned this story literally out of the blue. And then when I was looking for a story to share today, and nothing happened, I happened to open up Rabbi Yosef Weiss's Sefer on Visions of Greatness, Volume 4. And the way I look for a story is very often just opening up to a page. I opened up, the first page I opened up to was this story that somebody randomly told me this morning. So when I hear a story twice within a very short time, something in me says, tell the story. It happens to be like a 10-page story, so I'm just going to really shrink it down, and then we'll continue on. It's a famous story, it's a documented story. It's originally brought down in Mishpacha, and he notes there that this is a true story. Make a very long story short, but brings down the point that we need for today. It's that a person was in was driving a car in Israel, and his left tire, front tire, blew out, and he lost control of the car, and his car went into the other lane, a truck hit him, and his car was totally demolished, And when the Hatzalah came on the site, he was declared dead, right? They put a sheet over him, and that was that. And they were then working on the other people involved in the accident. Because of the traffic jam, so there was a bus that was also held up, and a guy gets off the bus and says that he's some type of medic from the army, and he'd like to help with the people that are sick. So they said, you know, go over to these people. He said, no, what about this guy? They said, he's dead. No, let me look at him. And he takes out a pen, and he performs like this tracheotomy operation on him that is able to allow his lungs to breathe again and basically revives him. And he was dead for 17 minutes on the clock. They revive him. They put him into the ambulance. He had, like, all of his bones crushed. I mean, he had hours of operation. I think he had 18 operations in all, basically to pin him back. They never thought he'd be able to walk, Baruch Hashem, with just a slight limp. It was a miracle he was able to walk again. And after many months in rehab, he was able to return back to his family. The interesting thing was that when he came back, you know, to, so to speak, he kept on saying the most bizarre things. Like he said to his wife, you know, we got a plaque for donating money to yeshiva that's hanging in our hall. Take it down. And he said to his mother, did I ever make a promise to, you know, give a donation somewhere and never fulfill that promise? And his mom said, yeah, you promised to give an Aron Kodesh or whatever. Okay, let's write out a check. It was one thing after another that was, it was like very bizarre. And he kept on saying to people, I've seen the real world, and you know, and they could see that he was a different person. So to make a very long story short, the bottom line was that his brother-in-law finally got out of him, is he had his after-death experience where he was on trial in court up in heaven, where all of his mitzvos and averos came forward. And he describes with real accuracy of how every single mitzvah, he remembers as a little child putting on tzitzit and walking around with pride with the tzitzit. And he's telling his brother-in-law, you have no idea the simplest mitzvahs that we don't even think about, what great mitzvahs they are in heaven. And he says, every time we say a bracha and we don't have kavana for Hashem, that Hashem created the world, hayahu veviyeh, and Adonai called, you can't believe what it creates in this world. And he says, like, it was all measured out back and forward, and he saw what he did right and wrong and where the gaiva is and where the pride is. And basically, he, you know, was able to come back into this world if he recognizes that he has to rectify a very, very specific thing, and he becomes a changed person as a result. And his whole approach to the world is a changed approach based on this experience. What happened to this person? He was able to live a life that most of us never live, my friends, of tchelet, of being able to see the world from top to the bottom, where he understood that everything that happens is for a reason and that everything has responsibility to it. When you have such a vision, you become a changed person. But, my friends, our challenge is when we hear such stories, and we have heard of such stories, are we changed people? Is our next bracha a different bracha? Do we recognize, it's hard to live this life, I understand that, but do we recognize that there is a system in this world and that this is what Hashem wants us to recognize? He wants us to develop a relationship with Him of faith, of trust. And when we have such a relationship, then our mitzvos take on a whole different aspect. They're not a burden. They're done out of love. And it's interesting. The Lekach Valibov notes, he says, you want to know what time during the week is the best time to be a tchelet, so to speak, to have the perspective of above the world, to have the perspective of this faith in Hashem, that time is Shalosh Shuras. That time is the time of chayfet, of ruah deruit. And here you can arouse this chayfet. And he says so beautifully, and I think this is the Gevaldic idea from the B'nai Sosar 41, that before God created the world, he prayed and he says, Yehi Ratzon, it should be that the world should, Ya'aleh Chayim Lefanai, should be a pleasant world, a pleasing world for me. When did he say this? So we know the first day is Sunday, Vayer Vayboker. And when does Sunday start? Saturday night. So when is the thought that he's davening, that Kosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol is davening, that the world should be a beautiful world? Before Saturday night. When is before Saturday night? It's Shal Shudas. And that's what we call Shal Shudas. Sudash Shlishi, the third meal. Because we don't call it, you know, the first meal, the second meal, the third meal. Because the third meal encompasses the other meals. And the third meal is a time that we can mamish daven. It's Kaddish Kedoshim. It's like the Eil of Yom Kippur. We can mamish daven that our whole week should be a proper week. It's the time to arouse desire within us, within our relationship with Hashem. We should be makbid to have a meal for Sugat Shlishi. We should be makbid too. We should be careful to really have a certain mindset that this is the holiest of times, where whatever we ask for, it gives us a perspective on the past week and gives us our desires for the future week. And whatever we ask for, we can mamish accomplish during this week. It's the holiest of time. It's a yafeh. If yesh kone olam b'sha'achas, you could acquire this world in 1 hour. Sha'a means ratzon, desire. Once this 1 hour of desire, this hour of shal shabbos. Now, let's go back to the Meraglim, and then we'll briefly do the second level. This now explains our original question, why aren't the Meraglim held responsible for saying something against God? What's it's not kfira, they said, what's too strong for God? So now summarizing 45 through 50, says the Derchei Noam very clearly. He says, the Meraglim, when they came to the land, they recognized, and that's why they left with a negative thought. Yes, they were tzaddikim. But they said, if the people of the land are too strong for us, it means that we have no merit to enter the land. And if we have no merit to enter the land, so obviously Hashem, of course, can bring us into the land. But He will bring us into the land usually a piderach hateva. To bring us into the land now that we don't merit it, that we don't have tmimus, means that we need to have a special schus. And the Meraglim are trying to save the Jewish people, and they're being honest. And they're saying, we don't have a special schus, we don't have a special merit. That's what they mean, it's too strong for God. Not God forbid it's too strong. These were people who believed, of course. But rather they're saying the reality is that Hashem will only bring us in here is if we have a special merit to deserve it. And because these people are so strong and we realize we don't have a special merit, there is no way, al pi derech hateva, naturally, that we'll be able to come into this land. And that's the argument between Yoshua Kalev and the Meraglim. Kalev is saying, no, we can create this merit. We can create this merit by having extra emuna, by having chafetz, by having desire. And the Meraglim are saying, no, we're not on that level. We can't get to that level. It's a done deal. But Moshe Rabbeinu, by sending the Meraglim, are telling the Meraglim something very crucial. And they're telling the Meraglim the following. They're telling the Meraglim that you're right. Moshe Rabbeinu, before he sent them, said, you know, you're right. We may not have a special merit to get in, but I can give you a way to get in without this special merit. And you know what that is? Even if we don't have tmimus. And that is called chiba sa'aretz, if you love the land. And this is why Moshe Rabbeinu acquiesces to send the Meraglim, even though he knows that the Jewish people aren't worthy of entering in through tmimus. Moshe Rabbeinu knows that. He knows that it's going to take 40 years. But he also knows that if they have this passion for the land, that too will be a merit that will allow them to enter into the land. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, who is fire, if we see his speech in Parshas Veschanan for the land, says to the Meraglim, look at the land. I want you to see the fruit of the land and how the land is. He's trying to get them excited about the land. Had the Meraglim come back like Yoshua and Kalev did, Tova Haaretz Ma'od Ma'od, the land is very good. Have the Meraglim come back and say, wow, what a kafaldic land, what a special land. And they had tshuka, and they would have arisen the desire of the people for the land. So they too would have merited to go into the land. And that's why Yoshua and Kalev respond, no, Tavar, it's Mo, Mo, the land is very good. They're trying to arouse this passion among the people. But it was already too late. So this, says the Derchei Noam, the main medium to get into the land was tmimus. That was the gift. They lost the gift. Yeshua says, well, we can regain it by chafetz, by desire. The Meraglim says, no, it's too hard. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'll tell you another way to regain it. It's called chibas sa'aretz. It's called loving the land, appreciating the land. It says that Derechei Noam, this is something. Harei atshuka l'aretz Yisrael in 50, v'ha de'avona chorbana heim ke'ein dechikas ha'keitz b'teramito. So what can bring the ge'ula until today? It's chibas sa'aretz. It's being able to feel the passion for the land. To recognize, as Wolfson points out in source number 54, that Adam HaRishon was created from this piece of land, that all of us have a piece of Eretz Yisrael inside all of us. To recognize the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, the centrality of Eretz Yisrael, and how pivotal Eretz Yisrael is in our lives. And that's why we have to be so careful if we want to bring the Geula about what we say about Israel. About, you know, people visit and they say, you know, the hotel and the land and Israelis. We have to be so careful to exhibit only chibas ha'aretz, love for the land, passion for the land. Because if we're not worthy on our level of amunah and tmimuth, then we could be worthy on the level of chibas ha'aretz, of passion for the land, of saying how special and central is the land. And it's interesting, as our final idea, and then we'll summarize, and then a number of announcements in Eretz Hashem. The Nesivah Shalom on our parsha says that every person has the ability who lives in Eretz Yisrael to awaken this passion of closeness to Hashem. And living in Eretz Yisrael, being such a land so close to Hashem, you can arouse special chesed rachamim above and beyond what was given to you for Rosh Hashanah. And people living outside of Eretz Yisrael are going to have to daven through the medium of Eretz Yisrael. And the Shema is going to come through Eretz Yisrael. That the power of the land has the ability to raise us to levels that are higher than what is a derech hateva, the natural order, as well as Shabbos has the ability to raise us above the natural order of the week and be able to bring us to levels of closeness. So that really Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael are two mediums that we have today to bring our level of desire, our level of closeness to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to that much higher level beyond the Derech HaTeva, the natural order. So what we try to see today, my friends, is what went wrong with the Meraglim. The Meraglim were stuck in this Derech HaTeva model, where they say we only can go in if we have Tmimus. If we don't have this level of Amunah, we're lost. And Kale's response is, no, you can create desire. Women have this intrinsically, Chala Vayachel. Men need this Tzitzit, this Tchelet, the ability to see above, downward, of being able to see that Hashem runs this world, being able to bring back this level of emunah, this level of faith to Hashem. The second way to go in, if you don't have this and you don't want to work on this, is this love of Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu was hoping that his love for Eretz Yisrael would be so contagious that it would affect the other Meraglim as well. But the Meraglim were so caught into that we don't have a schut, we don't have a merit, that they weren't able to see this beauty of the land. They spoke negative of the land, and therefore missed the opportunity of bringing the Jews in earlier to the land of Israel. Our challenge in our life is never to get stuck in the routine, to always be able to see life from that higher perspective, to be able to try to live life like the women do of challah, of raising the material of the mushroom, of recognizing our only sustenance comes from God, of our desire, our yearning and passion comes from God. A story is like the one we told briefly about there is this greater world out there where things make sense, where things have meaning and rhymes and reasons that we don't understand down here. And we have to recognize that and believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's running our lives, is meant for us to come closer to Him. We need to take the opportunities given to us, particularly Shabbos, particularly Shal Shudis, and use those times to daven, to feel that closeness to Hashem. well as all of us need to work on our chibas haaretz, our love for Eretz Yisrael, for the special land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, the Jewish people, and that chibas haaretz, that love of the land without ever putting it down, will also be ma'orer schus to bring the geula as well, to bring the redemption.